We've been talking quite a bit in the last couple of weeks about coastal erosion, but today we wanted to look at what happened sort of beside the airfield. I saw, and a lot of people saw photos on Facebook, of some erosion there, and there was a sign that made it look as if some planting that you'd done had been eroded and washed away as part of Coast Care, Stacey. So had that, is that what happened, or was I misreading it?
I think if you're talking about that sign that you set that main access way, so the northern end of that,
it was kind of on a wonky angle.
Yeah. I think that's sort of been stuck there and not representing a planting at all.
Okay.
So I'll go in there and pull that out because I don't want people to think that we've just lost, lost the plants there. But we did do a little bit of planting sort of just west of there, and those are still in place. There was a planting many years ago sort of just west of the ear sock as well. That got eaten away. That was due to a big hole of erosion, like a trough coming through. At that stage, I didn't realise, you know, these coastal processes.
We should describe what that trough is for people, because we haven't got any pictures here.
Yeah.
But you have a spot where there's quite a buildup of sand, and right next to that, it's kind of hollowed out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that shape, and that moves up the beach.
Yeah, it's
over
really, really obvious when you're out on the beach. You can see like that big spit, and then it's almost like a bay beside it. So that moves, like you say, like a wave. And that's moving eastward through into the harbour. So currently we're seeing that trough, like if you picture a wave, that trough is right where that airstrip is, and it's eating away. And this is natural, when it's not a concern really.
Yeah.
We'll see that accretion coming through after it.
Okay, so was there actually much eroded? Because you can't tell from the photo of afterwards. Did it get a metre, a couple of metres, half a metre? Do we know?
Yeah, I was out there just on Monday. It looked like a couple of metres.
Of metres.
It was a decent
little
bite, for sure.
That does feel like that we're going to be losing the land when you see things. And I think that's what people think, and they remember back 10 or 20 years and say, it used to be out here. But Angeline, you're aware of a much longer time span, and we were just looking at some pictures on the Regional Council Coastal Portal. Like, what are your feelings about this?
Oh, look, it's a natural process. You have to learn to live with the sea.
Yeah.
And, I sit and look at it every morning and every night and just watch the waves come in, the waves go. What we've got at the moment is we've had a lot of rain. We've had huge waves about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, I went to bed at night, I woke up in the morning, and I had a new view of the world.
Because your place, you're on the front line almost in a way, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm a really good indicator.
Where you live,
So I have, trigger points and things, and of course down drops my pūtikoas onto the beach, and they'll never live, they'll die there. But
if we hear you're looking for a new house, then we'll probably know why.
well, everybody's more worried about me than I am. I mean, my dad always taught me you can never fight nature. You have to work with it.
Yeah.
Respect it and work with it. So, in 2003, there was a similar event. It actually took all the dunes out right up to the car park. And I don't know, there was a big picture in the Waikato Times, I think, because the art centre at the time was going to use the surf club as a new art centre. It got actually shifted down, I think, to the soccer club, the building.
Yeah.
It was the old surf club. So the erosion ate right up to that road. And the response of the council at the time was just, we'll put some money into this. And all they did is shipped out the surf club and just left everything. My dad thought, well, actually, we can do something about this. So he chucked a few stakes on the ground, did the old green stuff that he'd been observing the sea for years. He'd done it in the 1940s.
Right.
And within a couple of weeks, we took photographs. Because it was the right conditions, the wind was blowing up and down the beach, the sand was travelling. He was able to trap it as it was travelling up the beach, so you start to build these sort of artificial dunes.
What was he making them out of?
He was actually using manuka stakes, because we had a block of land way out of Mokomokomoor, and they offered us these stakes, these big tall stakes, put them into the ground about that much, and you had half a metre in the ground, and about a little bit like maybe a foot above, and then just wove manuka brush through it, tied it down with flax, and left it there for a week. He did that with a couple of little lines. They weren't very long. They got covered. He thought, okay, we'll keep on going. So he just kept doing that. And it started to build up from that end towards where I live, to my batch.
Down the end of Ririkiriapa Memorial Drive.
Yeah. And so the dune that's there at the moment was started to be built in 2003. And so it's now at the point where it's just past the 216 mark. because we then had another event which shot back, and we had to start, you know, trying to build dunes again. And then that's gone right back. All the planting that we've done since then, which sadly, thousands and thousands of plants have all sort of disappeared or are waiting to actually come up again, because they will come up. Some of the ones I've noticed, even though they've disappeared, you see them starting to come back through the sand. So as soon as they get a bit of dry weather with a lot of good wind, be lovely to get it from the northwest.
Yeah.
It would just bring that stuff on and help build that slope back up so that the dunes start to recover again.
So that I guess if we look at the big picture, the takeaway is maybe not to panic about what's happening.
There's nothing to panic about. I mean, this is Mother Nature getting, basically, this big scrap going on. It's been going on for generations, for millennia.
Yeah.
You know, the world of Māori world is Ranginui and Papatūānuku were separated by their children, especially Tāne Mahuta, the brothers Tawhiri Mātea and Tangaroa, you know, didn't like that, and they still scrap with their brother today. So, and of course, the way you pacify them is he threw his eyebrows out to his brothers, you know, Pingao and Kōwharatanga, and that threw them out there as a peace offering to just quieten down a bit, boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the sort of story I tell my kids about. This is what happens. And it just is a reflection of, you know, family relationships.
Yeah, okay. Perhaps. Yeah, we all understand that. Yeah. So, and you were showing me, I know listeners haven't got this picture, but if you want to, check out the Waikato Regional Hazards portal, or we might put some on Facebook later, actually. But you were showing me a bit near, somewhere near the Kōkiri Centre. Everybody knows where that is. I hope they do anyway, where there's some pines being planted, and you're saying there's been some quite successful attempts to just retain the land there?
I think those weren't really, they weren't really planted. There were a few there, but I think there were probably a couple planted during the golf course days, but people who know plants, they just take off like pines, they're just wilding pines, basically. They take off, and that's what's happened. That bay's become filled with them. We planted Pingao and Spinifex in there in about 1980.
Yeah.
But prior to that, for about 30 years, I think my father and Eric Petchell started putting in some fascines or groins because the sea was starting to eat a bay in there, and they were using it for fundraising for Raglan, the Raglan Carnival Club. We were having car races and motorbike races, and they used to come down on a circuit there.
Yeah.
And they noticed that it was starting to eat into that bay.
Yeah.
So they started putting out these fascines, and the wire from the wall was still there. Those wire fences that they had to stop whoever was going to come and invade us at the time.
Oh yeah.
Were still on the beaches. So they had a bit of success putting that stuff there. But at the time, I think they were using probably marum as well. After they'd got a bit of stuff.
Okay. Yep. And just looking at the map we're looking at here, like the 70s seem to be like the most cut out area.
Yeah.
Although, as I actually didn't see this on air yet this morning, like the data I'm looking at goes back to 1944. We don't know what happened before then. Have you heard from your parents?
They've always said that area was fairly stable. I mean, they wouldn't have lived there for thousands of years if it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, our people were mobile, you know, like, so they would stay in that space.
Yeah.
And then they would go to the mountain at this time of the year, the mountain in the winter.
Because it's warmer.
Warmer, and also they could keep growing food up there over the winter. Down here was a bit frosty.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been that many frost and rain, but I think they're coming again.
Yeah, there was a virgin on it yesterday. So, Stacey, we had seen people online, seen those photos and saying, oh, we need to put some walls, some tyres, you know, things like that, wanting to do something. From because you've now had a lot of experience at looking at these kind of environments, and what are your thoughts on that?
That's a very sort of, I don't know, almost like a historic approach to that hold the line and fighting nature. And as Angeline said, that's we're never going to win if we try that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've seen tyre walls and just people throwing rocks and things out there. What that does is actually bounces the wave energy around. So if you wanted to put a hard structure in and to protect that coast, you'd have to actually put it all the way along the coast, because otherwise you'll get end effects and it'll chew in at each side. And it would have to be very well engineered, and we're talking like millions and millions of dollars for that. And if that was if we went down that path, you'd also very likely lose a high tide beach. So
so you just end up with a wall and water.
Which is really not what we want.
No.
If we go down the soft engineering path and we use the native plants to trap sand and build those healthy dune systems, then we have that buffering of erosion and we have that natural give and take to the sea.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, what we're seeing, sorry, just one more thing, what we're seeing at the airstrip and what we're seeing in a lot of places, you know, where the dune systems have been removed, we've got kukuya often right to the end. And then all we see is biting away by the sea, because constant erosion, because we don't have any native plants there to grab the sand when it comes back.
Yeah. So that and that's your role as coast care is to put those plants in.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Where did they go? like if we need to do this special project of putting them in, have we messed things up a little bit or?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it's like 75% of the coast in the Waikato region has been degraded. So that's like grazing, burning, bulldozing. It's, yeah, we've smashed it.
Kids jumping down dunes.
Yeah.
Oh. I used to do
walking up dunes still.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and so is fencing off the planting areas a part of what you need to do as well? Yeah.
We had to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people will walk all over them. They have no idea about what the work of how the sea works. They come to the beach for a good time. They want to get to the sea and the beach as quickly as possible. The quickest one is park my car here and jump over the fences, ignore the signs, go over and get to the beach and do the same thing coming back. So unless you've got fences, for some reason you have to have a fence, and even if there's a sign, it's ignored.
Yeah.
People can't seem to see things.
Well, once someone, if there might be a sign, but if they see one person doing it, then they think, it's okay.
Yeah.
No, I remember like, we lived on Wainui Beach just out of Gisborne when I was a kid, and there were some fantastic long sand slopes that when it was wet, you could slide down on your plastic surfboard, and it was a hell of a good fun.
Mm.
But that probably wasn't helping. In fact, I'm sure it wasn't.
Well, it was probably at a time when we probably had, like, at home, we had about 4 or 5 dunes in front of where I grew up down that end.
Yeah.
And so we were allowed to slide down the back dune on a great big board from the top of the hill on a cabbage stump.
Yeah, okay.
A cabbage stump. My father used to cut one of those with a thing, and you hold on to that, sit on that end, and go tearing down the hill on it. But we weren't allowed over the front. The front was all covered in lupins and all sorts of other things that sort of protected the beach, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now there's no dune. There's one left that's been handmade or man-made.
Yeah.
So it's not a good time. So I always send the kids right around the corner to the steep one that's wrecked anyway. There's one right around the corner on the way to the surf beach where kids still climb up there with their boards and slide down.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you've got to sacrifice one for all the rest.
It's probably better if you put them all in one location.
Yeah.
And I guess we're also waiting for, like, having talked with Shaw Mead, I think last year or the year before, there's one day some more sand will arrive, won't it?
Yeah.
But we don't know when.
Yeah, you just got to wait.
You just got to wait.
And my indicator is at the end, for all those people who talk about elephant rock or whale rock or whatever they call it, sitting at the end of the beach, it's like this at the moment. When it's actually covered, we're really in accretion.
So it's reasonably exposed at the moment?
Not really. It's sort of creeping up. It's creeping up like this.
Yeah.
And so it's coming. So you just got to be patient. And I'm sort of just waiting. And once that's covered, that's my indicator that we're going to capture a lot of sand. It's already started.
So that's what people should be looking for.
Yeah, look for the
rock.
And
in fact, there's positive signs potentially now?
Yeah, I think so. If as long as, you know, we get the northeasterly rains and that starts a problem, what I want to see is some wind. Yeah. And at the moment, the old god of wind is just having a big rest. It'd be lovely to start blowing from that end, and I might have to do some karakias, get it coming in this way so we can grab some sand while it's dry.
Yeah.
Because when the sea comes in, it sort of sets it like concrete. It starts that process of bringing the sand wet, bringing the sand, cover it, and it starts building up like that. And you've got to cover it with, as Stacey says, get some plants in quickly. I don't know how many we've ordered this year, Stacey.
We've got a couple of thousand. I can pull some more from other sites.
It's not many, mate. I know there was 6,000 down our end alone. Yeah. So, it's quite a bit of, you need a lot. And I've got a few in the nursery, but gee, they're hard to grow.
So, Stacey, you're responsible as running Coast Care for the whole regional council area, like across Coromandel area. You don't worry about that, you just do this side?
Yeah, I stick to the west is
okay.
Best.
Yes, true.
Yeah, I work from Port Waikato down to Mauko, which is a big stretch, and get to some pretty amazing places.
Yeah, and I noticed on the Facebook page there are, like, on the weekends there's like multiple events just about every weekend of people planting somewhere in the region.
Yeah, just a shout out, an invitation for people to join us at Kafia on Sunday, actually.
Okay.
We're planting at Tom French Grove, which is the end of Dapuia Road.
Yeah.
So you can come do some plantings and then pop over and have a soak in the hot pools there.
Mm. Can you tell us about a place that where there's been some success that, that people might know about, just so because we're here talking about all the erosion and the doom and gloom and worrying, but how when it works well,
yeah, one how does of it our go? Showcase sites would actually be Kiritihiri, which is just south of Matakopa. It's a real jewel actually down there. When the work first started, they could see the sea from their houses. It's about 100 metres back from the beach. And over the last 20 years, they've built a dune system up so you can't see that sea, and that little settlement is protected there.
Okay.
But even here in Raglan, like the work that Angeline's been leading here, you know, I know we're saying that, you know, we're losing plants and we've lost all the sand, but that's exactly what those plants are there for, to do. We're feeding that angry sea so that it's not eating into the sand, into the land behind it.
Yeah. I guess there are places where you can see it's going to be effective and other places where you go, just a waste of time trying it here.
If a site is going through active erosion, then we can't do any planting there. So it would likely to see more eating away. We need to let it do its erosion thing, which may be years. We're talking sort of these cycles of erosion accretion can be even up to decades.
Yeah, for sure.
So and then we'll plant as soon as we see sand accumulating again, and we'll build that dune system back out.
So that area that the photos were on Facebook the other day, you're not going to rush out and plant that?
No. That would be a waste of everyone's energy and plants. Yeah. I'm going to put my babies out to...
yeah, that's right, yeah.
But we will probably do a few trial fascines, because some guys are really keen to say, why don't you do what your dad does? We need to do this. And I'm thinking, oh, good, it's good to get some keen people after all these years. Happy to do it.
Do you have to do what your dad did, or can someone else also do
what your dad
did?
Well, that's what I'm saying. My husband and I have been sitting waiting for some leadership from younger ones, and now starting to get some. You know, I used to do this with your dad. Why can't we do this? I said, oh, well, get us some steaks. Yep, come and get some from my place. We can do this. So we might put a few little trials in to see if we can just encourage, see how things are going, because you get an indicator whether the sand's coming or not also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting you talk about, like, groins. And I remember as a kid where I was, the groins were these horrible rusty things. They put these metal groins out every few hundred metres down the beach. The beach looked awful. They were rusty. Though I much prefer what's been happening down by where you guys are. It's a little more low-key.
Yeah.
So Stacey is... Angela, I want to ask you another question before we get off, or after the coast care stuff, but and the erosion. Stacey, have you got other stuff that you want to let people know at the moment while you're here on the station?
Maybe just keep an eye out on that Coast Care Waikato Facebook page. If we do see sand building up again out here, then we'll be out planting and we'll need all the hands on deck.